You are listening to the Chase Variant Podcast, Episode 2, brought to you by StashMyComics.com, the leading internet comic book database and comics culture website, podcast, blog, forums, you name it. To my left is Chance Peterson. Say hello, Chance Peterson.
Hello.
And to my right is Nico Kaler, I Heart Hawkeye. Say hello, Nico.
Hiya.
Tonight, we're going to talk about comic books. We might have some more people pop in, so stay alert for that. Or maybe it's just going to be us three. Who knows? We are going to have some comics talk and all sorts of trivia games and you name it. So we're going to have a good time. So let's talk. Let's get right into comic books. What did you guys read this week? What was good that you read this week? Maybe start with Chance.
I'd probably say the best one that I read this week was Brilliant by Bendis and Bagley.
Oh, yeah, that's their new creator-owned thing.
Yeah, it's on issue 2 right now. I think you'd probably enjoy it as well. It's based on a group of college kids that are working to create superpowers, where it's similar to the show Alphas that I know you enjoy, where it basically says everyone is capable of having superpowers. It just takes a certain element to activate them, and they're working towards doing this for everyone.
So is it kind of like lab experiments, or is it like a... So you said they're college students, so they're doing this on the side, or it's their job to do this, or...
No, they're doing it on the side. It kind of happened... The way it was being explained is almost accidentally, where they had this theory that they started testing, and they're working towards perfecting it, but it's not quite there yet. So now they're trying to get other students involved to understand it better and hopefully be able to present this at some point.
So no one's got powers yet?
One person does.
And what's the power?
It's like a electromagnetic power where he can basically control metals, and he also controls like electricity. I'm not completely certain on the like extent of the powers because it hasn't fully been explained, but according to that person, they're imperfect and it could cause some problems later on down the line. But he basically tested this on himself to see if it would work.
So it sounds like they're trying to do this for profit.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like so far. But, I mean, it may not be their intent, but this one kid that has the powers right now kind of leads me to believe that he's in it for a profit. But I'm not quite sure about everyone else.
So maybe they want to, like, sell this product of, like, getting the powers to, like, some corporation or something, or...
Yeah, it's possible. Again, it's only on issue 2, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what exactly is going to come about with it. So, it'll be interesting. I mean, I have high hopes, because it's Bendis and Bagley, and
yeah,
they're two great creators.
Would you say that it's like typical Bendis stuff, or does he vary his approach here, or is it mostly the kind of thing he does, like dialogue heavy, kind of a funny, entertaining dialogue, that sort of thing? Or
it's definitely entertaining and funny. I don't think it's overly heavy on dialogue, but there's enough of it that you're getting substance out of what he's writing, but it's not in there just to be in there.
And I saw the cover to issue one that Bagley drew, and I didn't really like it, but I usually really like Bagley. He's that guy's a workhorse. He's a pretty good artist. How's he doing in this book?
He's doing great still. I mean, it's Bagley. There's not much more that I can really say about it, except it's his work. It's really good. I don't see anything slowing down on him. So it looks promising.
On par.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's out on Icon, is it?
Yeah.
Funky. It does sound like something I might like actually. I think I might go check it out because I've been dropping some books there. My pull list is dropping like flies. I dropped Supergirl, Justice League International, Aquaman, Justice League, Huntress miniseries, and I'm thinking of possibly dropping Swamp Thing at around issue 6.
That sounds like your
And
whole pull list.
there's a lot of them. It's probably like half of it, but I've been picking up stuff on the side to just to try. So this might be one. I'll talk about one of the books I tried in a minute there, but maybe Nico, you can tell us a little bit about what you read this week and what was good.
My favorite issue this week was an old issue of Amazing Spider-Man number 233 from October 1982.
Cool. The Bronze Age.
Yep. In this issue, Spider-Man, while looking for Nose Norton, how would you put this? I want to
What's
say
his?
informer. His name
Okay.
is Nose Norton. Nose is like a nickname.
Right,
They
right.
don't reveal his first name.
Yeah, like Matches Malone or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. He's an informer for the Daily Bugle, and he's wanted by, I think, the mob. So, J. Jonah Jameson puts out a bounty on him, sorta, and whoever can find him and bring him back to Jameson gets a bonus of $1,500. So while Peter Parker tries to find him, his alter ego runs into Tarantula, also trying to find and kill him. Him being Norton. I like this issue. It was great art.
So who's writing and who's drawing this book?
Roger Stern wrote it. I'm a fan of his work, and John Romita Jr. drew it.
Oh yeah, John Romita Jr. Yeah, he's a good
Romita.
he's pretty good I'm a bit more of a fan of the senior, but Junior is good.
Yeah, and he's still drawing today.
So is this a one shot like one and done story or?
Well, I have the next couple issues, so it's a four-issue arc.
Okay.
The tarantula disappears at the end before the cops can catch him. That's how it's tied into the next issue. But if you want to read this by itself, you can.
Okay.
You're not missing anything by not getting the next couple issues.
Yeah, that's what's nice about most of those Bronze Age books, they would write them in such a way that you'd have a complete story in one issue, but if you kept reading, some of the stuff from the previous issues would carry over, but it was almost never necessary to. It's not like these days where they write for the trade. Like
Yeah.
you need to read these six issues in one chunk, otherwise you're kind of lost in the middle. It's kind of a bit of a lost art form. I think
They started doing. They started like making it into like six issue story arcs in like the 80s, late mid to late 80s.
they started to get more and more cool. So you got that's a dollar bin purchase there?
No, it was $3. It was the discounted Silver and Bronze Age books.
Okay. So I know you've been raiding the dollar bins lately.
Yeah, I'm taking a break now.
Well, Well, I read, I picked this, like I said, I'm going to try to try out some new series just to change things up and keep things fresh for myself. I saw this Dark Horse series. I'd never read much Dark Horse stuff, and to be honest, I had always associated Dark Horse with licensed properties. Like, I think they're doing all the Star Wars books, the Star Trek 2, and all that stuff. So I had never really paid much attention to them. And then I just saw this randomly on the shelf in among the DC and Marvel books. And the cover, it's not like a great composition, but it uses a lot of design elements like that I like, such as like scratchy lines, silhouettes, halftone dots. It's all the kind of stuff that I like. Also, they place the logo straight in the middle of the cover, which I find you're so used to seeing all your books lined up with the logo at the top. When you see one with no logo at the top, or if when it's positioned differently, it kind of catches my eye. So I picked it up and I looked through it, and it seemed to be like the kind of subject matter I like. This science fiction, it's called Dark Matter. Right away, I'm interested. I love all this theoretical physics stuff. There's not much theoretical physics in here yet, but it's. I reviewed. I did a member review of this, and I gave it a 7 stars. But it's like the most enthusiastic 7 stars I can give it. Like, it had a few like clarity issues by the end, where you had to like pay attention to this one detail in one panel, otherwise the ending sort of fell apart. So I had to go back and pick up on that. But really, that's a probably more the reader's fault. Like we probably usually read our books too quickly. So I can't really completely fault it. Also, I docked it points because it feels a little too much like an introduction, similar to the impression I got of Activity Number One. But this being the type of genre I like, I was more favorable to it than the Activity, which is a spy special ops kind of book. The principle here is that there's a spaceship lost in outer space. We don't know where. I think it says the Senkaren. No, it doesn't even say where. Yeah, it's a place in outer space, and you see these 6 pods which are being monitored, like kind of like life systems, and you hear an alarm going on over it. And it says life systems failing at 15%, 14%, 13%. And as that countdown is occurring, one of the pods opens, and there's a man in this, and he's like, "What the hell is going on?" So he just kicks into survival mode. He's like, "I gotta turn off this countdown, otherwise I'm gonna die." And as he's doing this, he gets like drop kick in the back of the head by this woman who's like he's like, "What did I do?" And she's like, "You're in the way." So she shuts down the alarm system, and so they survive. But come to find out, there's like 6 of them, varied individuals. There's a kid, there's a big huge burly guy, there's a guy who's like found the weapon stash and he's really into it. There's this one guy who's like sort of like the Peter Parker role, like comic relief. This one girl's kind of like ninja-like. There's like I said, just a kid. He's probably like 10 years old, but he knows all these weird, obscure like medical facts. And there's this finally this one last guy who doesn't talk much, and we're led to believe that he's a bit of a suspicious guy, and he may know more about what's going on than everybody else, because nobody remembers why they're there, who they are. They just have these skills, and that's all they know. They know how to talk. They don't know who each other are. They don't know anything about the spaceship. It's like they're just there. And there's they find this android in the spaceship who is seems to be some sort of security protocol because he attacks them all. They manage to subdue him and reprogram him, and they start asking him these questions like, where are we from? And he doesn't know anything. So what they start to suspect is that this android knew what was going on, but somebody wiped his memory. But since there's no one else on the ship, there's no indication there's ever been anyone else on the ship, they suspect that it's one of them who's responsible for their loss of memory and them being there not knowing what's going on. So there's a cliffhanger ending. This one guy who's suspicious just grabs this box out of the wall or something. He seems to instinctually know that it's there. And there's this other ship that homes in on their beacon, the initial ship's beacon, but they're obviously not a friendly ship because they're launching missiles at this initial ship. So we don't know. They have a few seconds to not die of a nuclear attack. So it's enough to make me want to try issue two. I'd say people who are into sci-fi books and are maybe a little bit tired of the superhero thing and are just like hankering for just a straight up sci-fi thing. I'd say try this. If you maybe like the Aliens franchise or the Predator franchise, this has got that feel, like kind of a contemporary sci-fi thing. So yeah, Dark Matter number one from Dark Horse. It's, I don't know, it sounds like something you guys might like to try.
It sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Chance?
It might be something I'd give a try to, but I don't know if it'd be something that I'd be looking to go like long term with.
Hmm. So it doesn't say one of anything. So this seems to have been pitched as an ongoing. So we'll see. So anything you read that sucked?
I haven't read anything that sucked this week.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Chance?
Me either. I haven't finished my last two books, but so far everything's been pretty good.
Cool. I got this mysterious package in the mail. I was at work Thursday. I got an email. My wife said, hey, wait till you get home. You got a package from California. I'm like, what? California? What's that? I don't expect anything from California. So I'm like, did I trade anybody on the forums? what's going on here? So I get home and I see this package, no name, just a return address. And I open it up and they are the complete series of Manhunter issue, volumes in trade paperback, volumes 1 to 5, Manhunter by Mark Andreyko and various artists. And get this, they're all signed, and get this, they're all signed to me, to Jason. So I have no clue. I do not have a recollection of ever requesting this. I do remember really liking this series when I picked it up. I had picked this up in trade a while back. I read it 3-4 times. That's what I was doing back then. I would buy trades and I'd read them multiple times and then trade them in to read something else. So I did own this before and trade them in. And I remember liking it enough that I wrote Mark, I think, or found him on the internet or something, and to tell him this is a really good series, like it's really funky. And but the thing is, since then I've moved twice, so I don't know how Mark would have tracked down my address.
That's what the internet is for.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. So anyway, if you're not Mark, and you if Mark is listening to this, and I'll be tweeting this and seeing if I can get a hold of him, and you did send me this, thank you so, so much, because I actually have been thinking lately that I'd like to read this again. And that's what's been happening with those old trades that I traded in for credit. I had Batman's No Man's Land. I had the Question series in trade. I had this and a couple others. And I've been thinking, like, maybe I shouldn't have gotten rid of that, because, yeah, you read it three or four times, but then later on you might, you know, be in the mood to read it again. So I'm going to have a weekend here. Mark Andreyko, have you guys heard of Manhunter, Kate Spencer Manhunter?
No, I haven't heard of it.
I've heard of Manhunter before. I think you mentioned it before.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's a lawyer and a single mother. She does not have powers, but she has a suit, a very sexy one, if I may say so, which does enhance her physical abilities. So she's a little bit more agile. It's a bit of an armor. And she has this bow staff, like a energy bow staff that she can shoot like energy bolts, and it has multiple uses. And she's a really cool character, very well written. She's sort of like the superhero. She's doing the superhero thing, but she feels a little bit inadequate because she's a bit, she kind of sucks at it. She's a better lawyer than she is a superhero. And she goes through a really interesting character arc in these five trades. So, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you understand we were talking about the worst comic of the week when you brought this up?
Well, we all went around for worst comic, and I didn't have one either. So I just,
okay.
I just, yeah, no, this is,
you didn't have one.
Yeah, this is by far. Yeah, I know that whole tirade. Yeah, of me being enthusiastic about this is not because it was the worst comic. This is a really excellent comic, and it was a really cool surprise. I totally didn't expect that. And I hope I'm not offending anybody if I forgot that you were going to send me this. But whoever you are, thank you so much. I'm going to be reading this and probably doing some sort of write-up on the website. At the very least, I'll be doing member reviews and possibly like a classic runs, because I would consider this a modern classic on this character. Just really, really cool stuff. Really cool beans. Anything to add?
Sounds interesting.
Mm.
I might see if I can find an issue.
The...
What is publisher?
It's DC. Okay. But a lot of people have mentioned that this has a Marvel Comics feel. Like, it's kind of like it's sort of like a Marvel series feel, but set in the DC universe, in a way.
Just
so,
like Squadron Supreme.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's more like tone-wise. It's kind of got that Marvel tone. It's a bit more street level, and I don't know. It's hard to describe why that is, but like if you read it, you kind of pick up on that. It's
just like Squadron Supreme has a DC tone, and it's in the Marvel
universe. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I can see how you make that analogy. Yeah. So StashMyComics.com sponsors this show. We are all StashMyComics.com users. StashMyComics.com is the best internet comic book database. It's basically IMDb for comic books. We upload all sorts of character appearances creator appearances. You can search by those things. You can search by all sorts of ways, publisher and title, and you name it. And if you become, you register an account with us, you get to contribute to the database and add new series, add all sorts of data, and you gain points for doing so. And those points will allow you to buy tickets in giveaways that we do mostly every month. I'd say it's roughly every month, and once in a while we skip a month, maybe during like the slow months there. So there's one coming up soon enough, so go check out the stashmycomics.com site. We also have member reviews. It's a relatively recent feature, and people are using the heck out of it. People are reviewing comic books out the yin yang, and it's awesome. It's unlike any other comic book website, where most comic sites will review recent comics, but we do all sorts. We're all over the place. You see Silver Age, Bronze Age, Copper Age, and modern books, and all sorts of books. It's really cool.
Some Golden Age too.
Yeah, once in a while you get a Golden Age review there. It's pretty funky. You can comment on people's reviews too, so you get a bit of dialogue and sort of have a discussion about your favorite books there on the site. We also have a really cool blog, if I may say so myself. I'm the editor at the blog. Chance writes reviews at the blog. Nico's written some stuff in the past.
And I read so, it.
Yeah. Nico's a faithful reader of the blog. So you can check that out. We do a fan film Friday every Friday, so come over. There's probably a bunch of movies there you can watch made by fans. All the characters you can think of. Tim's always putting up interesting fan films there. He put a Question one last week. That this week is Iron Fist and Luke Cage. So check those out. We also review back issues from every era, and we review modern issues. We have columns and editorials on all sorts of subjects. So yeah, check that out. It's a good time. And we have an excellent, very active forum full of friendly people who will welcome you with open arms and help you with any question you may have about the database or any book recommendations, or just talk about books. So check that out too, the forums. There's actually a thread right now. If you have topics you'd like us to discuss on the podcast, go make a suggestion. There's a thread so you can make that suggestion. And find us on Twitter and Facebook, at Stash My Comics on Twitter. You search Facebook for Stash My Comics and like us. And subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. Leave us a good one. And unless you hate the show, if you hate the show, don't leave a review. Eat a muffin instead. Topics. Let's talk about something. What do you guys want to talk about, comics wise? There's tons of
Justice League number 5 possibly shipping late.
Oh yeah, is it shipping late? Would that be the first issue of the 52 to ship late?
Yeah.
Ah, that's what happens when you put two big guns there on a book.
Well, the reason that, at least I believe that it's going to be, is Jim Lee just had a daughter. So that could be mitigating circumstances there.
Yeah, that's entirely forgivable. Congratulations on your daughter, Jim Lee, and I'm okay with
that.
Yeah, I'm okay with Justice League shipping late for that. In any case, I'm not reading it, sorry.
From what it said, would only be up to a week late.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, for a guy who's had a kid. Who knows? It might be Geoff Johns, and Jim Lee's, like, in the hospital now, drawing, like, page 7.
Yeah, that could be.
Well, it could just be any producers. Any of the production people.
Yeah, you never know.
They ran out of blue ink.
Yeah. It's a less likely possibility, but a possibility nonetheless. Are you still reading Justice League, Chance?
Yeah. It's issue 5, so yeah. Issue 5 is coming out. I've been reading it so far.
How is...
I think it's been pretty good. I mean, I'm still not, you know, thrilled about Cyborg being like a founding member, but I'll probably just see how it ends up playing out. But as of right now, it's still been pretty good.
Would you say it's like a 6-7 star book or better?
I think it's been generally a 6 or 7.
And that's good for you,
I think,
right?
More. Yeah, that's good. I think it's been closer to 7.
And last issue featured Aquaman, because right now they're sort of like spotlighting each member, right?
They were. See, this one was, yeah, Aquaman was involved. I mean, this was more the whole team was around, and I just thought it was really good. I mean, there's more interactions, but not necessarily a whole team yet.
Have they addressed where Martian Manhunter is, or are they completely ignoring that?
So far, they're completely ignoring it. Right now, it's basically none of them know each other except for Green Lantern and Flash. Everyone's pretty much just, who are you? What's going on? And they're trying to figure out what's been causing all this, like, destruction where I believe it's Darkseid's coming out and causing havoc around the world.
Right. Yeah, it's Darkseid was was announced to be the big villain there in that arc. I had a bit of a hard time with the characterizations that I felt were all kind of stiff. That's sort of a Geoff Johns trait where he goes kind of. He'll go for the joke sometimes when he shouldn't, in my opinion. And I had a bit, he did that with Wonder Woman, and I felt it kind of cheapened her character a little bit, especially considering what's been going on in Azzarello's and Chang's series. I get that she's in man's world, like in the mortals. Like in America for the first time, but like she's kind of like, oh wow, ice cream, and it like really like this is a warrior, Amazon warrior, who's the kind of getting all girly about ice cream. I don't know, like it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Jim Lee is a good artist, but probably not the type of style I usually like. It's very liney. Like, I don't know if I, like, a lot of cross hatching and, it's definitely well drawn, but it's not necessarily my type of thing. So I dropped it as of, I think I never picked up issue 4, actually. Issue 4, has Aquaman on the cover, does it?
Yeah, issue 4 is Aquaman on the cover.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up. I had it in my hands in the store, I flipped through it, and I decided I was giving up. It's kind of weird. Like it should be the for me, like as a probably I label myself as a DC fan. It should be the book that I'm most excited about, and just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah, I'm really just looking for it to go into, like, the future, which would be the present and the rest of the books. I think that's a major thing that's, you know, end up playing out where I don't know how you're really going to be able to focus the characters where this is in the past and while you're reading about these future characters. And the rest of the New 52.
Well, the Wonder Woman, that's the thing. Like we're getting really into like kind of nerdy continuity here, but why not? It's unclear in what time frame Wonder Woman occurs. I think Azzarello and Chang did the right thing by just saying, like, I think they just decided that it doesn't matter when this story takes place. Like, here's Wonder Woman, here's a story, and we're just going to tell a good story. So if in that case, I can't, like, completely fault, like, DC for lacking consistency in their characterization, because I think they're deliberately being ambiguous about the Wonder Woman series specifically. I don't know. I think my Geoff Johns honeymoon is over. I think it's been a while. I liked his Green Lantern stuff. I like his JSA stuff. But after Blackest Night, it started to go downhill for me. I don't know if it's me or it's him, but it's just I need a break. Okay. You guys want to do trivia?
Okay.
It's gonna be you two on your own. Let's see here. I'll explain a little bit about the rules. You guys are familiar with the rules. We're gonna change it up a tiny bit this week. I think I've told you this, so you guys are prepared. But I'll refresh the listeners at home what Stash My Comics Chase Variant Trivia Game is all about. What we do is I find a comic book in our database, which users have submitted creator and character appearances in. And what I do is I read a review by a member of this comic book, and I make sure that there's not too many spoilers in it. And what I do is I tell them how many names associated with this comic book are in our database. And I try to choose one that has a significant amount of names. And what the players do is they bid in how many names they think they need in order to guess the comic correctly. So let's say that there's six names associated with a comic book. If the winner of the bid, who gets challenged, wins the bidding war at say four names, well, he gets to I read four names to him from the list bottom up, and then he has to guess the comic book correctly. If he doesn't, the person who challenged him gets the point. And now it can go to zero and negative names, but I won't go into that right now. If it happens, we'll get into that at that point. So let's see here. This one doesn't have a review, but it's a good one. Let's see if I can find a review of this. Oh, this is an interesting one. Somebody's got to have reviewed this for sure. This is a pretty popular series. I'll just give you hints as I'm going along. There's lots of member reviews, but I'm just trying to go by randomly selecting, so maybe I'll just search the reviews here and be a bit simpler. This is a good one.
Who starts first?
I don't know. You guys hash it out. Who wants to start first?
I'm fine either way. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Me too. I don't care.
Neat. Nico, start first. This book, I need to find, people need to be updating their database, not updating enough books. We'll go with creator names. This book has three names associated with it. There should be more, but somebody reviewed it. Why didn't you update it? Steven Sparks reviewed this. Okay, this whole thing is a big, huge hint. So I'll just read it. The Avengers are frogs. Blank to the rescue. Another solid read. There are three names. Nico.
Three.
Okay. Chance goes to you.
I'll go two.
You can name it, Chance.
Ah, challenged. Your two names are cover penciler Iguara and interior penciler Iguara as well. Steven gave it 8 stars. He says, "The Avengers are frogs. Blank to the rescue. Another solid read." Comic book from 2011.
Right, it's Avengers versus Pet Avengers.
Oh, very nice.
You
got the title correctly, I'll give you that much. Now you have to guess the issue number correctly. Bit more of a challenge.
Yeah. I want to say there's only 4 issues.
So you got 25% chance.
Yeah. You said it was 2011?
2011.
I'll go with 2.
You got it. You lucky. You got it. So Chance won the point here. Now we played it 2 points.
I was thinking it was just Pet Avengers.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit of a tricky thing. I'm impressed that you got the title perfectly correctly.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You had that issue, Chance?
No, but I pay attention to what people read. I know, I'm pretty sure he read that on the digital subscription.
So he's like a boxer. He's like preparing for this like trivia game, the whole thing.
Yeah, they're trained to win.
Let's see here. I want to try to. This is probably a good one. Let's see. This one.
How many points do we go up to?
2 points.
Okay.
Let's see here. Oh, this is good. This one's good. This user, Hard Traveling Hero, gave it 10 stars. Really like this book. He says, "A very touching story, This Hour of Last Things. One of my all-time..." Huge hint, favorite mutant issues. Very good. The comic is from 1995. So it's obviously a Marvel comic. I mean, the only one that has mutants. And there are
actually,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's got 10 names associated with it, 10 creator names. Chance got challenged. It starts with Chance.
I'll go with 10.
10 names from Chance. Nico.
I'm not even trying. In the 90s, there were so many mutant books.
Yeah, it is a wide.
Yeah, Chance, go and name it. Good
okay.
luck.
Okay, 10 names. Comic from 1995. Need the user review again?
Yeah.
A very touching story, a very touching story, This Hour of Last Things. One of my all-time favorite mutant issues. Your 10 names are editor Lisa Patrick, cover penciler Ian Churchill, colorist Michael Thomas. There are 3 inkers, Bud LaRosa, Hilary Barda, and W.C. Karani. The letterers are Richard Starkins and Comic Craft. Interior penciler Ian Churchill, and writer is Jeff Loeb, 1995. Very touching story. The Last Hour of Things. This is Hard Traveling Heroes' favorite all-time mutant story issue.
Is it Uncanny X-Men?
It isn't, I'm sorry. All
right.
This is Cable number 20. The event is Legion Quest. A bit more of a tougher one, that one. So you're at 1 point each. Let's see here. I'm going to find you another book. Threw you a bit of a curveball there. Now I'll see if I need to do like a fastball or whatever the kinds of pitches are there. Let's see here.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that book in a million years.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Let's see here. Oh, this is a... This could be one. Oh, here's a... This guy's reviewing all sorts of books here. Just one sentence reviews, though. If you're listening, try a bit harder. Sir 1292, 10 stars. Really like this. I really enjoyed this comic book. However, I would like to see more heroes on this team. So you know it's a team book. 2012, recent book. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names. Six names. I'm trying to think if you guys... wondering if you guys, any of you read this. Six names. It's to Chance. Chance, six names.
Oh, did Nico already bid?
Well, yeah, well, he got a chance to bid, but he challenged you, so he goes back to you kind of thing.
Oh, all right. I'll go with six.
He goes six names. It's a bit tough for two players. Nico? Come on.
Yeah, let him do it.
Give it a shot. Come on.
Okay, five names.
Five names. Chance?
Name that comic.
Oh. You're on the spot. 2011. I really enjoyed this comic book. However, I would like to see more heroes on this team. So it is a team book. 2012. Editor Bobby Chase. Cover penciler Kenneth Rocafort. Colorist simply goes by Blonde. Letterer Carlos Manguel, no help there. Interior penciler Kenneth Rocafort. This guy's a fairly new guy in mainstream superhero comics. Writer Scott Lobdell.
Scott Lobdell, I know I get a book from him.
Yeah, he's a recognizable name. Those two, the writer and artist.
Yeah, I think I know it then.
Did the series start in 2012, or is the issue from 2012?
The issue is from 2012.
Okay.
Team book from 2012. Scott Lobdell and Kenneth Rocafort. Any sort of guess?
No. If I know this book, once you tell me, I'm going to be so mad. You win, Chance.
You might. I'll read you the synopsis, and first one to guess it, you can yell it out. It says, Red Hood, Arsenal, and Starfire enter the Chamber of All to discover...
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number four.
Three.
Three. Three's the one. So are you guys reading this, or...?
No.
No, I read the first one, and then didn't pick that's up why, the other ones.
That's why his name sounds so familiar.
Yeah, that's the thing with the New 52. It's fairly easy to guess the issue number because they're all roughly the same. They're all roughly around issue 4. So that's the Chase Variant trivia game. You're welcome to come play if you want to challenge the masters here, or you want to challenge me even. Who's behind the, who's hosting the game, go to our forums and, tell me you want to challenge me that I'm a chicken and I won't be able to pass that up. And, we'll have you on. I'll have you on to play the game. Anybody who wants to challenge, even creators. Imagine, like, playing creators could be embarrassing for them or potentially devastating for us. That's it. I think that's the show. Anything you guys want to add?
Late-breaking news. Bleeding Cool on my Twitter feed, there is an article that says, yes, well, there will be a Justice League number 5 next week. And yeah, in sure. It says retailers seem to be insisting that the book is shipping the week.
That's because what DC said, but you shouldn't follow them. They're a horrible site.
Okay. Yeah, well, he's good at some things there, Rich Johnston, but he's not making friends.
No, definitely not.
Especially not with Dan Slott. Dan Slott is taking mostly in stride. They're
we can confirm
sort of like
that. Just,
going
just,
on.
Just DC Comics tweeted, we can confirm that Justice League number 5 is indeed hitting the shelves next week. That's what DC Comics itself is saying.
Okay. Well, whatever. We'll see. We'll see next week, I guess. He'll come back next week. We'll report on this. So if you guys have nothing else to add, we'll wrap this sucker up. What do you think?
Yep.
You guys done?
I think I'm done.
That's a capper.